Beloved brethren of our Lord Jesus Christ, seemingly straightforward are the Proverbs of Solomon, but what exactly are we to make of them? How is one really to read them, and why? My son, declares Solomon, heed the instruction of your father, and do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. For everyone who exalts himself, adds Jesus, will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Okay. It is the glory of God to conceal things, declares the same Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. But the glory of kings is to search them out. So, O royal priesthood, why is it in the salvation historical scheme of things, in the redemptive and everlasting scheme of things, why is it exactly that everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted? After all, this hasn't exactly been my everyday experience. Has it been yours? Exalt yourself, and you will be humbled. Humble yourself, and you will be exalted. Has that been your experience? Your everyday experience? Is that what you've seen ever and always all about you in the world in which we all live? And yet, at least from the perspective of the divine, in a world whose rules now conform to the rules of God, here's the rule. For pastors, for those who would be pastors, for all the rest, exalt yourself and you will be humbled. Humble yourself, and you will be exalted. Now I ask you, does that make sense? And why? Why is this God's rule? Answer. The first answer, that is. Answer, why? Because he who exalts self inevitably fails to know, inevitably fails to appreciate where it is that he really belongs. What his place really is, that is, in the cosmos. This he fails to know, to see, to appreciate. To quote a friend now, there is a God, after all, in this world, and you are not him. Now this, of course, means something. Means, in fact, everything, especially when it comes to self, especially when it comes to the matter of getting ahead in this world, regardless of what the world seems to keep telling us, regardless of what we always seem to hear from the gurus of self-help, regardless of what we always seem to hear from those who would encourage you to find your own way to a better tomorrow. For there is a God, and you're not him. No good thing comes then to the man who forgets this, who fails then in knowing his place in this world, who seeks then to do an end run around this through the elevation of self by works that justify or by any other means. There is a God, friend, and you're not him. Now, to mimic another friend for a moment, I know that none of you really have a problem with this sort of thing. But you know what? I really do. So bear with me for a second as I talk about myself, because, you know, what really keeps happening for me, that is, all too often, all the time really, I find myself failing in this respect. As I slip over and over again into a pattern of thinking and behaving that seems to concern itself only with the here and the now. As if the conviction of the now lived in the hope of the not yet, as if the eternal, as if God and the promise of not just the present, but especially of the future were just irrelevant. So when it comes to that which is worthy of trust, when it comes to that which satisfies, when it comes to that which brings perhaps a sense of contentment, maybe even a sense of being encouraged in this life, to what does a person then go? To what does a person then all too often look? After all, the world keeps telling us that the only good that matters is the one that I want for myself. And the only rights that matter are the ones that I claim for myself. Because the only life that matters, that has meaning or value, is the one that I want, is the one that I achieve for myself. What I have is what I am, where I am, who I am, what I do, that everyone seems to either like me or fear me. All too often, it's all about power, isn't it? What I have achieved for myself, then, that's what matters. Because you gotta take your destiny into your own hands. At least that's what they say, isn't it? But our God, our faith, is no mere backdrop in life. True greatness is to be achieved through the elevation of self, through personal accomplishment. Never. We sang just recently, just now, just a short while ago, "So let us follow Christ our Lord and take the cross appointed, and firmly clinging to his word, in suffering be undaunted. For those who bear the battle's strain, the crown of heavenly life obtain." So, friend, forget what the world keeps telling you for this reason, and actually for yet another reason, really. The most important reason, really. For Christ himself, Christ alone, Christ especially, yes, Christ finally has come to show why everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the true Son who humbles himself will be exalted. For Christ has come, and coming has become just this kind of a son, that those who previously anticipated him as humble sons, together with those who now both enjoy and proclaim him as humble sons, might forever know the glory of that same son, of the one son who for us and for our salvation humbled himself and came down. Therefore, friend, therefore, dear son, whether son or daughter, if there is any encouragement in Christ, adds Paul, do this. For a new way has been charted for the one who would find his rightful place in the cosmic order of things. A way anticipated by others, a way now made sure in the fullness of these latter days. Do this, declares Paul. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let thereby the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born then in the form in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Just do it, to coin another phrase. Humble yourselves, as did Jesus, before the Lord, adds James, adds Peter, adds an entire cloud of witnesses. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. For all that matters in the end, is that his way, his glory, his sonship be your way, your glory, your sonship. That in the end, that with the end, you too may be given to hear what Christ himself was first to hear, namely the voice of the Father declaring for all to hear, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." For in that day you too will be given to share in hearing the Father also say, "Dear Son, your time of lowliness has come to an end. Come up, dear Son, be exalted, dear Son, to the place reserved for the heir, for you." "It is done," declares your God. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He who endures to the end shall have this very heritage. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. To him be the dominion forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.